The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you find the Trinity impossible to accept. God is three, yet God is one. Well, my friend, if you find this confusing, you're certainly not the first. I can't help but recall the time a college student thought he had nailed me on this subject. He looked very proud of himself. After all, he had just disproved the Trinity, or at least he thought he had. I was doing an outdoor open forum at Arizona State University, taking questions about Christianity from skeptical students in their free speech area. A Muslim undergrad and I had been dialoguing for a while. As a Muslim, he was dismissing the Trinity, claiming that God could not possibly be three in one. Finally, to give his case an extra shot in the arm, my enthusiastic sparring partner shouted out a math equation, probably one of the first lessons in arithmetic any of us have ever learned. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, not 1. Oh, I said, now we're using math to figure out God. Okay, well, how about this? 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. Speaking of numbers, I have some additional numerical information for you. Today begins the 15th year of the Bob Siegel Show. So happy New Year to all of my listeners. And speaking of New Year, there is yet another observation about numbers, because the age-old debate that happens every 10 years is still going on about whether or not a year ending in zero, in this case 2020, is the beginning of a new decade. Be of good cheer. Your old pal Bob will explain why it is not the beginning of the next decade and is instead the end of the last decade. You see, when they first started counting years, they had to start somewhere. So they started with the number one. That means years 1 through 10 made up the first 10 years, the first decade. And obviously that is how the decades have been counted ever since. Now, it's true that certain expressions enter the vernacular. When we look back at the 60s, for instance, we naturally think of the year 1960 as part of the 60s because it does include the number 60 and is, therefore, part of the 60s. Nevertheless, technically, 1960 ended the decade which began in 1951, just as 2020 ends the decade that began in 2011. But by all means, feel free to say that we are now in the new roaring 20s, because apart from the term new decade, that much is still true. Not that any of this is all that important, just some early year trivia, but there is an important news story, and this is also related to numbers, like the number of times somebody can keep getting released from jail. Tiffany Harris was arrested for slapping two Orthodox Jewish women on a Friday while shouting, "Effing Jews." She was then released without bail on Saturday, only to be arrested again on Sunday for punching another woman, released again, and then released a third time, the third having something to do with some kind of scuffle at a probation court hearing. Why was she released twice without bail? Because of anticipation. A new law already passed and just days from implementation in New York that limits the kinds of crimes one can be held for pending bail. Mayor de Blasio has been defending this law. He has since moderated his comments a little, but he still enthusiastically defends the law, claiming it is unfair when some people can afford bail and others cannot. That may be true, and the law supposedly doesn't apply to violent offenders, but that makes this case difficult to explain. One would think that when a woman is arrested and released twice for violence, albeit milder violence, but still vicious, hateful violence, something about this new procedure is not working. No worries. When there are problems in New York City, you can bet Mayor de Blasio will speak out. After all, he expressed nothing but disdain after Domino's charged $30 per pizza delivered to New Year's Eve visitors at Times Square. Criminals released without bail. This does not concern de Blasio. A business takes advantage of supply and demand. That concerns them. But liberal pundits are concerned about President Trump having ordered the destruction of Iranian General Soleimani. The complaints are varied and quite creative. CNN reports that President Trump was eating ice cream amidst reports of the airstrikes. It is yet one more attempt to convey a not-so-flattering portrayal of our president. I agree. I really do. I have serious problems with the ice cream. As a matter of fact, the destruction of a bloodthirsty terrorist who will never again be able to order the deaths of innocent people should be celebrated with both ice cream and cake. It gets even better. Soleimani is being called a revered figure, loved by his troops, a man who was even known to read poetry out loud. Really? A man who loved poetry? What could Trump have possibly been thinking? Well, and I'm just tossing this out as an idea. Perhaps he was thinking that the man has long since been designated a terrorist, was responsible for the death of over 600 U.S. soldiers in Iraq, and countless other atrocities and tortures perpetrated on women and children. He also oversaw the attempted invasion of the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. Just imagine the headlines and bylines if Trump had been president when we defended Nazi Germany. Headline: Donald Trump orders the bombing of Berlin, forcing the suicide of Germany's beloved leader. April 30th, 1945, Berlin. President Trump is now responsible for the death of a man who united the German people, a man who loved parades and loved nature, an artist who created paintings, a fiscal leader, a disciplined leader who got the trains to run on time. Now, there was one pundit who grudgingly offered a different comment about Trump's airstrike. Jonathan Alter of MSNBC decided to stipulate the need to take out Soleimani by calling it right action, wrong commander-in-chief. Now, call me a romantic, but wouldn't taking the right action find itself on the checklist of the right commander-in-chief? Meanwhile, Iran vows retaliation while leftist politicians accuse Trump of declaring war by ordering the airstrike. Time for a little perspective. The attack of a U.S. embassy is the same as an attack on U.S. soil. That itself is a declaration of war by Iranian proxy forces. In any event, Iran has for many years sponsored a multiplicity of jihadist organizations which long ago declared war verbally and openly on America. Iranians also chanted death to America quite often over the years. They did not stop simply because President Obama was kissing their behinds by paying billions of dollars to stop building nuclear weapons, an agreement which came without verification. The Obama administration even admitted at the time that they understood much of the money would probably be used for terrorism, which means they knew American lives were being placed in danger. They still thought this was a great deal. A great deal. Trump thought it was insane and pulled out of the idiotic agreement. His enemies put that on the list of Trump's problems. Yeah, right. Trump is dragging us into war. Now I'll tell one. But first, I'll tell you how happy I am to have as my first guest of the new year, National Review contributor Mike Friedenberg. Mike, welcome back to our program.
Well, Bob, equally happy to be here as well. Happy New Year to you. And happy new year to the audience out there. Never have a problem with a slow week or a slow month or a slow year or a slow day or a slow second in the news. And taking out Qassem Soleimani was really big news. But to be frank, when I first heard it, I'm going, oh, another terrorist guy taken out. And it took me a while to really digest just how significant this was. This person is often described as the number two person in Iran. He was the most influential military commander. He had been in charge of using terrorism to greatly increase Iran's influence in the region, closely allied with Hezbollah. In oftentimes probably in command of the popular mobilization forces, which are the forces, the Iran-backed militias in Iraq that have been, you know, fighting against allied forces against the illegitimate Iraqi government, which, by the way, they have a sort of like the IRA in Ireland had the actual fighters and they had the political arm. Well, there's a political arm in the Iraqi parliament that is either the first or second most powerful political arm there. So we're looking at a guy that had, as Bob said, killed hundreds of U.S. soldiers, many, many, many hundreds of innocent men, women, and children by being allied with, you know, outright terrorist organization. And he has been designated as a terrorist by our government for many years, by many other governments too, and as well as the popular mobilization forces.
I wouldn't have a problem if they bombed him, even if he hadn't been designated as a terrorist. They attacked our embassy. They attacked our embassy 40 years ago in Tehran, the Iranian yes. embassy or the American embassy in Iran. This is long, long, long overdue. And Trump has held all kinds of restraint. Well, they've shot down our drones. He said, well, it was unmanned. There have been acts of war for the longest time. And I'm glad one of our presidents got fed up and decided to do something.
I believe that we've had rather poor foreign policy since Reagan left office, to be frank.
Yeah, and I think that's true of Bush and Obama both.
Yeah, true. I mean,
Bush was way better than Obama, don't get me wrong.
Oh, he was, but
I wasn't that wild about him.
The George W. Bush administration had a hands-off policy on Soleimani. They did, and just as Obama did. So here is a guy who's strutting around the world, you know, with the cosmopolitan airs and reading poetry, and, you know, looking dashing and debonair in his, you know, tailored suits.
Isn't it sad that so many people in our country are being taken in by the poetry and things like that and not looking at what the man actually did?
Yes, it is very sad. So what I want to do, though, is just to bring home, rather than talking about, just talk about a story here that I found about the aftermath of one of these IEDs that his organization was responsible for using to kill American troops.
Okay, well, we'll hold to that, and we'll have this story as soon as we get back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development, that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at wisdomworkschristianpreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. wisdomworkschristianpreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined with National Review contributor Mike Friedenberg.
So Bob, as I was mentioning, is I want to kind of relay a story here. I will relay a story here. Story is by Brian Kastner, former Air Force Explosive Ordnance Officer, and this is what he described. Anyway, Brian Kastner combed over the armored vehicle, mostly intact, aside from entry and exit holes, tipped with molten copper that had since cooled. The U.S. soldiers who had been inside had already been medevaced near Kirkuk that summer in 2006, leaving the Air Force bomb technician alone with the vehicle. Pools of blood simmered under the Iraqi sun near what one soldier had left behind. There was still 1 foot left in the Humvee, Kastner said. The targeted U.S. killing Thursday of General has brought this back to the forefront. These types of attacks on U.S. troops has brought this back to the forefront, these IEDs. Now, the terrorists have been using IEDs for a long time. Initially, crude explosive devices designed to go off, a lot of times using cell phone technology, things like that. But what Soleimani and the Iranian government brought to the package is they created a very sophisticated IED, something that the terrorists in the field would not have been able to develop themselves, but that the Iranian government was able to develop. And this was basically used a shaped explosive charge, explosive-shaped device that would blow smaller than an off coffee can. It would blow using high explosives, would shoot a slug of copper, liquefied copper. And the copper, it was going so fast, basically Mach 6, that it actually treats anything it hits as liquid. So this would literally fly through our armor, several inches of armor, fly in then through the engine block, out the back. And this was, all these were being deployed against our troops, killing hundreds of them. And this was courtesy of and coordinated by the man that Trump took out. This. Now, this was back in 2006, I'm relaying this. So for well over a decade, the person that orchestrated this, that coordinated it, that supplied these weapons to the people in the field was running around free. And, you know, one of the things that's been dramatic about the wars we fought in the last 15 years is the number of deaths have been very low on the U.S. side and allied forces. But one of the things that not often talked about, but that President Trump does talk about, is the number of people who have arms, legs, have been crippled for life, horribly maimed. And these weapons were responsible for that. So this is the person here whom people are lamenting about or complaining that President Trump took out. And he was basically free to come in and out of Iraq. Free to come in and out. He was part of helping to organize the Iraqi government, which now takes us to the mess that we are in the Middle East, because the Iraqi government is a mess. Right now, it's being the prime minister there, al-Amadi, I think is his name. Anyway, he resigned 2 months ago due to the mass protests due to corruption. So he's a prime minister caretaker. But he, nonetheless, just within the last few hours has, or certainly today, has asked and urgently demanding that all foreign forces, including U.S. forces, leave the country. And that has been supported by the parliament.
Okay, so if he resigned, why doesn't he just go?
Because,
why does he stand around and do the saber rattling?
This is a mess. This is a country that has no history of democracy. And there are, okay, it, I mean, here, okay. The prime minister is supposed to be a Shia Muslim. But to counteract, the speaker of the parliament is a Shiite. But then they give the vice presidency to a Kurdish, a symbolic position. And you have all these factions vying. So basically, even though he resigned 2 months ago, they can't put together a coalition to elect a new prime minister. So he's a, what he's called a prime minister caretaker. He's a caretaker prime minister. So this is the mess there. And huge, huge, tremendous influence on that parliament from Iraq, which, by the way, I mean, from Iran.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Iran and most of the people in the government consider Iran to be their allies. So here's
but then I have to guess that a lot of people in the Iraqi population, as well as people in the Iranian population, do not like all this stuff that's
going on
and probably like what Trump's doing.
No, exactly. Now, I don't know, obviously, have any idea
what the stats
to convey the stats. But yes, and I do believe that that's true. So it's a mess there. As Pompeo said what you said, basically, he just said that, yes, we've heard about the votes and what the resigned prime minister have said, but we know that the people in Iraq want us to stay. Now, do we want to stay or not? It's a very complex
Mike,
question.
Mike, I say we just go. You know what I hated when Colin Powell was around? We hit and we invaded Iraq the first time. This stuff of, if you break it, you bought it. I think that's nonsense. I appreciate the fact that Trump doesn't want to do nation building. These are Muslim nations. They are, that is a philosophy that's just not compatible with democracy. We need to just go in, take out terrorists, and say, you want us to leave? We'll leave. But you raise any more terrorists that attack the United States, we'll be back. And by the way, kiss your sovereignty goodbye, because Iran's probably going to be here the next day conquering you.
Yeah,
how fast do you think Iran will go in there after we leave?
What I fear, it's the same thing I fear, you know, what we're doing in Afghanistan. We're pumping hundreds of billions of dollars into these countries to try to keep a facade of democracy going. But is it really a democracy when if quote unquote democratically elected people get together and then they do nothing that even represents liberal democratic rights? In our society, we have the mistake of thinking just because it's democracy, it's going to end up presenting. So we get a democracy elected. A democratic
Hamas
elected
was elected by democracy in the Palestinian sect. It's a lot of nonsense. I remember during Vietnam, originally people were saying, fight the war and win the war. Then as it dragged on, they said, win the war or get out. And then finally they just said, get out. And I think Trump wants us to get out. But on the other hand, if we're attacked, we're going to attack back. And you talk about surgical strikes. You can't get much more surgical than killing one other guy.
I think there was three other people killed, but let's talk about the other person killed. The other person killed, the other major person killed was, what was the gentleman's name? Abu Mahdi al-Muhadis.
I wouldn't lose too much sleep over not being able to pronounce all these names. So, I really don't care how they're pronounced.
So this person was born in Iraq, but he was the formal military leader of the popular mobilization forces, the pro-Iran forces, some 40 different militia companies that are basically committing acts of terror and fighting against the Iraq government that has been supported by the United States. So this was the other guy killed. So two really tremendously major leaders, and especially both of them, but Soleimani is not going to be easy to replace, because let's give the man his due. He was very intelligent, very capable, very resourceful, and he was a terrorist. He was doing evil, but he was good at doing evil. So killing him was a very big thing.
Well, we'll look at more of Soleimani's brilliant resume when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric. License number 480539. WNS Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm here with Mike Friedenberg reviewing the news. And of course, big in the news is the Middle East situation.
Well, back to Soleimani's resume. Here's something that Ram Ben Barak, the former deputy director of the Mossad, Israel's intelligence agency, said about him. Soleimani, who had a very creative brain, his death is a blow to the Quds force. Now, the Quds force is the forces that Soleimani commanded, about 20,000 troops, and people have described them as a cross between the CIA and our own special forces. So basically, they were designed to move in, conduct, you know, guerrilla warfare, conduct intelligence operations, an interesting group of forces. But here's also what he says. He said there was almost no terror attack in the last 20 years that did not have Qassem Soleimani's fingerprints on it, said Ben Barak, speaking this Friday on the Israeli Army Radio. There was almost nothing that happened that Soleimani wasn't actively involved in. He initiated, pushed, and checked, it was done. So this is the guy we took out. This is the guy that, for whatever reason, the last two administrations said, you know, we're going to keep our hands off of. So,
well, it's this idea, and I'm hearing this from all the Democrats now, well, we're really going to make Iran mad. They declared war on us 40 years ago, redeclared it again last week. They've been attacking us, calling us the great Satan. They were responsible for, they got their tentacles in just about every terrorist organization in the Middle East, killing Americans, killing others. What more could they possibly do? And people that study Islam know that in those countries, they actually respect strength. I believe we are safer now with this attack. This counterattack.
But Bob, they're chanting death to America now.
Yeah, we never heard that before, did we?
So that's true. So I personally agree with you. It's very interesting now that the other fallout from this, which I think is good, is that Iran has now said that they're walking away from the nuclear treaty completely.
Oh, what a shame. That was such a wonderful treaty.
Now, why that's good is because the European countries that want to do business, that put profit before human lives, yeah, have had this fig leaf argument. Well, Iran's adhering to this nuclear treaty. They really weren't doing it. And as we know, that treaty basically said, we're guaranteeing you that you can have the nuclear bomb in X number of years. Okay.
It's so, Chamberlain again. We'll give Hitler Czechoslovakia, and then he'll really back off.
So now this is being removed, so they're not going to have that fig leaf to hide behind. Iran is going to be actively pursuing nuclear weapons. Okay, they've just said it, and they've announced it today. And so now the European governments have to sit there and say, do we want these kind of people in public We can't just hide behind the fact that we say there's this nuclear treaty in place. They can no longer hide behind that. They're going to be there. They're furious for Trump, with Trump, obviously, because they wanted to continue to have their cake and eat it too, be able to do business with this illusion that this nuclear treaty really meant something. Very short term, very short sighted people. But now they're not going to be able to do that. So this is really a positive step forward to they're going to scream about it for a bit, but ultimately they're going to have to make a decision. And I think they're going to basically come down in with the United States and Trump and really even start to ratchet up even more pressure on Iran now that they say that they are. Because before, they were sort of going along with it because not going along with it could cause the United States to put sanctions on you because you weren't sanctioning Iran. This just takes it to another level. So another positive thing falling out on this is that Iran has just thrown off this illusion anyway. And is now, you know, rattling its saber about nuclear weapons. And the European powers that have been reluctant to support the sanctions ultimately are going to be forced to support them even more.
Now, Mike, I wanted to ask you about this talking point that's being floated now. Only Congress can declare war. Now, that's true. That's not in, I don't believe that's in the Constitution, but that is a law that was passed years ago. But at the same time, we've had all kinds of military actions throughout the years without war being declared. And when the United States is attacked, the commander in chief has to act, and he can't go calling upon Congress. And it's not like Adam Schiff wouldn't have leaked exactly what our strategy was, and that guy wouldn't have gotten out of the Baghdad airport anyway.
Yeah, so there's two things. One is the president is authorized. In fact, Obama did it many times. To initiate these kind of actions.
Again and again and again, Obama did it, and they never said one word.
Right. So that's number one. So he has not initiated a war. He has not declared war, though it's possible.
But they have declared war on us. So if, once they've declared war on us, do we even need to declare a war? If they've declared war, aren't we just in a war now?
You would think so. They did attack, as you said, sovereign U.S. soil by attacking the...
Well, are we going to have a judge start deciding now when Trump can authorize troops? They're deciding everything else.
I am sure that there is a judge who will be a hero and try to
wants to make
that.
A name for himself.
And yeah. I do think on something like that, if it came down to immediate military operations, I believe the Supreme Court moved very quickly to answer that. I don't think that
and
they
let's
would
hope
that.
Roberts comes... through
and
for us
and
this
I,
time.
I think even Roberts would come through on that. I believe that even he would come through on that.
I hope so.
So I
it'll
definitely
decide
hope so.
It'll depend on what side of the bed he's getting on.
So we have this that was another dimension there that of the good that came out of this. And you're right, Bob. Historically, Islam.
Many of our conflicts have not been declared wars. Oh, you're talking about Islam.
Islam and
they
respect
Muslims strength.
Have respected strength.
Yeah, exactly.
And
it's
and
part
that.
Of their religion. They believe that to the degree that they're winning a war, that's a victory from Allah. And if they're losing, then they're concerned why this other religion is gaining the victory. It's actually one of those little known facts about Islam.
So, and then of course, President Trump, and it's probably wise to do this. Why hide something? If you want to prevent the escalation, you should get it out there. And what Trump has said, he said they have 52 key sites ready to be struck.
I love that. One for each of the 52 hostages. That was perfect.
And just another little piece of trivia that heard. I think I heard it from Senator Lindsey Graham this morning on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo. The road from Baghdad into the airport, the Baghdad airport, that road was one of the most heavily mined roads with IEDs during the conflict. Many, many U.S. soldiers lost their life there. That is the road upon which the U.S. did the strike and took out Soleimani. Soleimani, who had orchestrated the deaths of U.S. troops on the road, he was taken out on the exact same road.
Well, since the guy was a poet, we'll just call that poetic justice. We'll be right back.
This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others, sadly, do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. Their ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined by my good friend, Mike Friedenberg.
So, you'd mentioned that you favor just getting out of the cesspool that is these snake pit of politics and religion and fanaticism that, you know, characterize what's happening there in the Middle East. And, you know, that's a very good argument. An idea that I thought of, and it was also interestingly echoed by a gentleman by the name of Mark Helprin. He's a former, both a veteran of the Israeli Air Force and the Israeli Army. He's a member of the Claremont Institute, conservative, and he's written several very, very high-end literature-type novels. So he's an accomplished guy. And one of the things he suggested, and I think it's an idea, was the idea of having some kind of heavy presence maybe left behind in a base that's capable of independently supporting itself, supplied by the United States.
And like a big aircraft carrier just cruising the Persian Gulf.
Well, maybe that, but that's no even bigger. A base with the ability to have, you know, planes and strike forces and equipment. They're right in the center there.
In which country would you imagine
it
that
could
being
it put? Could be Iraq. It could be Iraq, something that has access to a port.
But if Iraq's asking us to leave, well, and they are a sovereign nation, then what are we going to do?
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I have a problem with the way we've done some of these things there. We spent hundreds of billions of dollars.
We're still in the debris of the nation building of George Bush.
That's right. We're still in that, the throes there. So we work out something with some arrangement. It could be Saudi Arabia. It could be a number of nations.
I like we're leaving, but we'll be back at the drop of a hat. Well, if you hassle us.
The point of this, though, is that we are going to be relatively self-contained in this space, but it's a massive presence there that if we can track down terrorist acts to any government, we're coming after you. We're not going to be going after the soldier who has no idea what's going on. We're going to come after the leaders that orchestrated
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Like so that said, was cut off the snake at the
so
head.
It'd be
instead
sort of, like,
of hiring Iraqi soldiers to protect our embassy, what a great job they did there.
Right. Well, it'd be sort of like the idea of Damocles' sword. It'd be sitting there, hanging there, and the people that, you know, think that terrorism is a good way to exercise the power of the state would know that this force is there. There's planes there. There's special forces there. There is cruise missiles there that within a matter of minutes can be striking them and leave that there as a powerful deterrent. Now, that may not be a good idea, but at least it's an idea. And basically just saying after that, though, you're going to have to figure out how to create a functional, viable democracy on our own. We can't do it for you.
Yeah, and that'll do wonders for diplomacy. Scotty said it best years ago. He said the best diplomat is a fully charged phaser bank.
Yes, and I think there's been other variants of that before the year 2020. What is it?
Speak softly and carry a big stick. I guess it goes back.
It
even predates Star Trek a little bit.
Yeah. Yes, imagine that. That there is wisdom outside of Star
outside
Trek.
Outside of Star, who would have thought?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay, we're devolving here. So that would be an idea. So the Soleimani thing, it was Trump doing what makes sense from a foreign policy perspective. all but the craziest anti-Trump conservatives support it. Even National Review's fully on board
with
it.
Well, the thing is, if Obama had done this exact same thing, and Obama did many similar things, including taking out bin Laden, nobody would be saying a word.
No, they wouldn't be. No, actually,
he'd be getting the accolades he deserves.
He'd be getting lauded for his bold, decisive action. Yeah. Okay, there. So another interesting thing that's going on, and as you remember the big fight over the census data, right?
Yes.
And whether or not the citizenship question was going to be included. Well, now that it turns out that the Homeland Security, via executive order with the Census Bureau, has been required to hand over certain types of data that combined with Homeland Security, they're going to use a very sophisticated modeling technique to determine levels of, you know, citizens, non-citizens, and illegal immigrants in each congressional district. The model will be very
so they can determine it without putting that question
without the question there.
Some judge will find a problem with that too, of course.
And a lot of people were saying that this could be done, and that why do we need the census question? And so why do we even need the census? We can do this. Of course, the same people that did the lawsuits against the census questions now I'll be screaming that they're going to use this model.
We're going to have a judge give an order against this. I don't have the slightest doubt.
Now you're going to hear about this coming up. This was relatively recently released, and there'll be more screaming about it as we get closer to the time. But the thing to keep in mind is, yes, if you're trying to track the citizenship status or the legal status of an individual person, those things can change over time. And so the argument say, well, how do you know which data are you using? But when you mass millions of records together, all that stuff sort of averages out and comes out in the wash. And using sophisticated algorithms, you can certainly come up with some good estimates. Now, whether or not those estimates will be allowed to be used to, you know, rearrange congressional districts is another issue, because obviously the real question is that if you start only using citizens, then that would swizzle the congressional districts back over more toward probably just because a lot of the illegal immigrants are concentrated in areas, highly urban areas, which are controlled by Democrats. Because of that, actually only counting citizens would probably push it back over toward districts being organized to the Republican advantage. But the question is, what is right? Should the districts be represented based upon the citizens in the districts, or should they be represented based upon the citizens plus, you know, maybe some districts could have 20%, 30% illegal immigrants. And should that district now be getting the same representation, the same clout? And what happens then, each district is always going to have the same number of people. So if 30% of those people there, let's say, that are either legal or illegal immigrants, then the 70% there that remain that are actual citizens now have more power per vote than the ones from districts where there's mostly non-illegals there. If you see what I'm saying, because now it's 70% have the same power to collect that one congressional representative. Let's say it's 300,000 people instead of 400,000 people from another district. So it actually, fairness would seem to dictate that we really do organize congressional districts by who's the citizens in them. And this model would give it a chance to do there. So it's just an interesting thing I was reading today, and I know it's going to be coming down the pike.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, which is why we know some judge will overturn it. We'll be right back.
Not sure when to try an unusual novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here is another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year, except February 31st. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm down to my last segment with Mike Friedenberg. We hadn't talked about the impeachment. That, of course, was the big news. No pun intended. It kind of got trumped by the airstrike. This utter nonsense about Pelosi not delivering the articles of impeachment and the leverage she has. I'm not concerned about Pelosi. I'm not surprised by anything she does. Mitch McConnell concerns me because I think he could just say, you don't deliver them, we're going to go ahead and dismiss it. I think he could do that. They would have to change a rule in the Senate first, but I think he could call. It was the Senate that came up with that stupid rule that they have to hand deliver things. So why doesn't the Senate just say, okay, we made the rule, we're going to change the rule?
Yeah, it's interesting. Senator Lindsey Graham was... I did happen to watch this, so I'm going to refer to this again. It was on
Maria Bartiromo
this morning, and he did talk about that. And he's very frustrated with Nancy Pelosi's antics. And he said that it's not a matter of days. It's not a matter of weeks. It should be a matter of days before we go ahead and just start the trial.
She means to drag this on the whole election year.
She could be, and who knows?
It was we got to do this immediately because he's a grave threat. Now they're dragging it on forever.
It will be interesting to see what happens.
Because she wants the word impeached out there, and she doesn't want the word acquittal out there. That's so obvious.
Right. So at some point, McConnell may support the idea of just going ahead and saying, we know what the articles of impeachment are. There's nothing that's in the Constitution that says that it has to be handed to us by the Speaker of the House.
No, except they would have to have a vote in the Senate because the Senate put that rule in that place.
So a simple majority vote in the Senate could change it.
Just McConnell, just do it. Just do.
But he's not going to do it.
He's such a toe-the-line, letter-of-the-law kind of guy.
Bob, I have a little bit of a mixed feeling on this because a lot of these things that we're now feeling highly incentivized and for good cause to throw out were there for a reason, and there really were some good reasons for them.
Well, what's the reason for physically needing to hand over these articles when they already?
It's the way you do things in a normal, and if you were dealing with a normal, reasonable people that had some ethics and integrity, they would hand them
over. So all they do is they change the law and they say, yes, we continue to hold the view that the articles should be delivered. However, they have to be done by this day, or we're going to go ahead and rule anyway.
And I think that there's some options there. So I concur. Mitch McConnell has been reluctant. He finally been reluctant to change and go against established
tradition. He has this idea that if we play nice, they'll do the same. And I wish he'd wake up and smell the coffee.
I think he has been waking up, not as fast as perhaps myself would
He's done a good job of getting the judges through, but huge. Boy, I'm not too impressed with him on other things.
So the impeachment process was 100% illegitimate the way they did in the House.
And now they're screaming about how they want witnesses brought into the Senate. Oh, like the witnesses the Republicans weren't allowed to bring in when it was going on in the House?
And what the Republicans are saying is that we're going to follow the exact same procedure that was followed with the Clinton impeachment, which basically said everything that was produced in the House is fair game in the Senate. But nothing after that. So and the Democrats don't want to follow that procedure.
They're not interested in consistency.
No.
They're not interested in justice. They have an agenda.
So I don't know what Nancy Pelosi is going to do. It's going to be somewhat governed by how the polling's looking. And if the polling starts to slip even a bit more, at some point in time, she's going to cut her losses and just send it over. But if she can sit here and sort of this like you say, in this holding this impeachment process so that we could still be talking about it forever and ever and ever, she may want to do that. I don't know, Bob, what's
speaking of
there.
Polls, does this help Trump or hurt Trump? Seems to be helping him right now, but looking long range, we got an election year ahead of us.
It's a help, but it would not be enough to overcome an economy turning bad.
Yeah, I hear too many conservatives say, you know, the American people are smart. They see through this. I don't buy that. The American people aren't all that smart. I'm willing to say that 50%, maybe even a few more are, but we got an awful lot of stupid, incredibly idiotic Americans out there who like this guy in the Middle East because he read poetry. Those are the people deciding our elections.
Bob, I think that if you're in office, it's probably wise for you to say that the American people are smart if you're in office.
Good thing I'm not in office because I can just go on the radio and say anything I want.
Exactly. But it doesn't really get you anywhere, though I will agree with you that it is. If you think about the smart American people, they elected Obama the first time, and then they really solidly reelected him the second time. So, you know, you can sit there and talk about how smart the American people are, but there are some that aren't all that wise.
I'm just not quite seeing the brilliance. It's not exactly dazzling me.
So I'm not 100% confident in anything right now.
But at the moment, it seems to be helping.
Does seem to be helping, and it will be at least a modest help. Is it going to, as I said, could it overcome a downturned economy? Because I think that's right now where, because of the savaging that President Trump has taken from the media, I mean, people that think that that has not hurt him are naive. He has been tremendous. He should be running 58 to 60% of the polls. If there was any fairness in the media with his coverage of his accomplishments and not constantly attacking him and misconstruing and really, frankly, lying about what he's doing, if there was any fairness in the media, he would be sitting at 58% right now because he's done a tremendous job. So the fact that he's still within striking distance or has a very good chance to get reelected is amazing. And that's because there is people that do see through it.
And because he's resilient and he knows how to fight. The biggest problem they have is they're used to calling every Republican Hitler. They're not used to one of them fighting back.
Exactly.
Now saying, I'm not going to stand for that.
Some really good news is that in 2019, the RNC and the Trump campaign jointly raised $463 million, almost half a billion.
You know, I contributed to the Trump campaign once last year, and I have not stopped getting text messages.
Same here.
And they write them as if Trump is writing it himself. Bob, where are you?
Yeah, right.
I need your money. Bob, come on.
But Bob, I'm glad you did, because you do. Listen,
I think I'm glad I did. I am getting tired of those
text
messages.
Well, no, you are. But Bob, it is for the country. And here's the thing is, when Obama was going for his reelection in 2011, he raised the Obama campaign plus the DNC raised $220 million. So the Bush campaign, same period of time, relative point of the presidency, has doubled what Obama raised. And in the Q4 alone, Trump raised about $45 million more than the Obama reelection ever did in 2011. So that's good news. But the bad news is that he's going to need every dollar that he has to counter the billions of dollars of anti-Trump free advertising the media is going to give the Democrats.
Yes, and Twitter's going to probably find ways to censor him and not censor others, and they'll claim it's a fair standard used objectively.
Because why should we, you know, it's unfair that somebody that has such a big Twitter following should be able to use it.
Yeah, of course. Exactly. Yeah. Everybody has a right to freedom of speech except the president of the United States.
Except the president of the United States. So that's good news. Something here that goes back to sort of, but really just the Soleimani killing. Did you hear what our brilliant fighter for justice, Colin Kaepernick, said?
I did. Go ahead and repeat it. It was pretty disgusting.
American terrorist attacks,
a racial thing,
against black and brown people are a routine byproduct of the expansion of American imperialism.
Does he have any idea how many black and brown people this terrorist killed?
I think a lot of people.
Many, many women, children. He was not discriminate about what color they were.
No, I think there's a lot of people in the Middle East that aren't exactly fair-skinned. Let's put it that way. But anyway, we can talk about that next time. But I think that Colin Kaepernick, though, is the poster child, along with many other leaders in the Democratic
Party,
that's for the new racism.
That's the mantra. Bring it back to race. That way we don't have to actually think and wrestle with ideas. All right, exactly. Mike, good seeing you. Happy New Year. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.